You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Willis Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, last night was just over the top about dreaming the dream, and Pastor Don just really flowed in the Holy Ghost last night. What a message. I heard comment after comment, and just the start, you know, last night. Today we're going to be blessed with Pastor Rance Moore, who really was our associate minister for years here. Pastor Rance and Tammy just did everything. I mean, he filled in for me when I was out ministering, and they did children's church, and they did, goodness, this praise and worship for 13 years. Actually, it started like this. I know you just, I tell you, y'all sit down just a minute. It started like this. We had a transition in our praise and worship team, and I asked Rance, and I said, Pastor Rance, I said, back then he wasn't a pastor, I said, would you mind filling in and, you know, doing the praise and worship? He said, yeah, I don't mind doing that. I'll fill in until we get somebody, no problem. So he got up and started filling in, and 13 years later, seriously, I mean, he got up and I thought, well, he's the one. I'm not getting anybody else. And so we just never replaced him, you know, until he left. But until he had a dream that I tried to talk him out of, you know, of going starting another church. But I cannot say enough about Pastor Rance and Tammy. They were such a blessing to our church and still are, you know, a blessing to our church. And they did so many things. They kept our kids and, you know, watched them grow up. And I can't even think of all the things they did. If it was ever done around this church, they did it, you know. And the best leaders are the best servants. You can't lead if you don't know how to serve. And I can say honestly that when Pastor Rance was here, he was the most willing, submissive, Johnny on the spot, ready to do whatever pastor, you know, that I ever want. Never, ever had any trouble with Pastor Rance. The kind of people you never want to lose. The kind of people God always calls to go out and do things. Are you with me? And now he's got a great church over in Greenville, Faith Outreach Church, and we were just over there just doing a teacher's banquet not too long ago, and just making a difference and making a change, impacting Greenville. But we're blessed to have Brother Rance come, Pastor Rance come and minister to us. So I want you to give him a warm welcome, Pastor Rance. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Remain standing if you would. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Just remain standing if you would. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for this morning service. We thank you for this conference, this 30-year anniversary service. Father, I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your blessing to continue to be upon it. Lord Jesus, that fire that began last night would continue to roll on even through this day, Lord God. And Father, permeate our very being. Father, as we let you shine and all the things that you have done through us. And Father, we just give you praise. Let everything we say and everything we do, let it glorify the name of Jesus. We'll give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' matchless name. Everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I count it a privilege and an honor to stand in this pulpit today. You know, as I said last night, we've got one of our own, our local. You know, we're all part of the family of God. We're all connected and intertwined, and many of us have different ministries outside. But hey, listen, it's all the same ministry. It's the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so to stand on the same pulpit and in the same stage and deliver this message, really, in this church and in this body, I feel quite at home. Amen. As Pastor Mike brought up a while ago about getting involved, now that we've been pastoring for, and those pastors that are in here, you find that when you find somebody to fill in that's not causing any problems and that's doing an okay, all right job, you know, you just leave them there. You know, you're not looking to try to put people in different places. You're calling in. Part of our confession is we're calling in sound people to fill the ministry of the house. And so I just think that that Pastor Mike obviously thought I did an all right job to not remove me. So I just praise God for that. Let me just say, you know, this pastor's conference, wow, what a service last night. I'm telling you, what an impact. You know, Pastor Don, as he always does, he brought his A game. As he got up and he preached the Word of God. And you know, Pastor Mike, can I just say, Pastor Mike, over all the years, of sitting under Pastor Mike, it would just tickle me sometimes when Pastor Mike would say, I've got my preach on, you know. I'm telling you what, you know, Pastor Mike, he can deliver a message. I mean, there's no one that has ever heard Michael Williams, my pastor, teach the Word that didn't walk out and go, wow, that man knows the Word of God. He can deliver a message. He is a communicator. But I'm telling you what, listening to Pastor Don last night, and he's a preacher. Amen. Well, I'm quite different than both of those guys. So just sit back. You know, what a blessing. What a blessing to be here. Go to Genesis chapter 37. I had was preparing a message for this morning service as I was thinking all the years of sitting in this church and leading praise and worship. I thought, okay, so we're going to start in Psalms 100. I'm going to teach on praise. But you know, after listening to Pastor Don last night and the flow of the Holy Ghost and things, I thought, well, let's just pick up on there. Matter of fact, I was sitting in my seat, and this is my wife, she wrote a note, and I went back in some of my old notes, and I pulled out all of, well, not all of them, but I pulled out a whole bunch of notepads where Pastor Mike was preaching. I thought, I'm going to pick a message he's preached before and preach that. Those that are going to our church, say, well, that's not uncommon. You do that still. But I was just looking at over some of the old notes, and as I was just flipping through from sermon to sermon and just kind of looking back how I took notes back then, and remembering sitting under Pastor Mike all those years and things, ever so often I'd turn to a page and my wife would have a little note jotted on there. She'd say something, can we go to Dairy Queen tonight? I've got to go to Brookshire's after service, you know. I love you. You know, those are priceless. When you go back and you just recount and you remember those things. Well, last night, it's been a long time since I actually just got to sitting by my wife during a sermon. And Brother Don was preaching, and she wrote a little note, stuck it over in my Bible. And I looked it up, and she says, here's what you can preach tomorrow. And I took that to heart. You know, she hadn't done that in a long time, so I thought, I got to go back to the drawing board. So here we are today, beginning in Genesis chapter 37. Now, Brother Don brought this out last night. We're going to pick up on it again. Chapter 37, verses 5 through 11. It says, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. All right, and last night we heard about dreaming the dream. You got to have the dream, keep the dream alive. He said, for behold, we were... He says, and he said unto them, hear, I pray, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the fields, and lo, the sheaves arose and also stood upright. Behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to the sheaf. And he goes on, he begins to read, he begins to recount the dream. And as he began to share it with his family, not everybody was involved on the dream. Not everybody was excited about the dream, especially his brothers. We get down to verse 18, and Brother Don also took us here. It said, or verse 19, it says, as Joseph was coming to his brothers, they said one to another, behold, this dreamer cometh. Behold, this dreamer cometh. And I thought, you know, this church, this ministry, 30 years in the making. We look around this room today, we see beautiful carpet, nice chairs, we see all these flags, all the things that's gone about in just the construction, the physical construction. And I began to think about my pastor, and I began to think about this church and what it stood for, and the price that was paid. You know, I didn't have the privilege of coming when it first began, but shortly after they moved over into this building, And we started come to church here. And the moment I came in, I knew this was the place. I mean, how many know what I'm talking about when you say this is the place? When the Lord is leading you and the Lord is directing you. I remember my dad, he used to say, you've got to go come hear a young preacher. And this was back when they were in the upper room. And he said, you've got to come hear this young preacher. I'm telling you, he's a fireball. You know, there's such an anointing on him. And my wife and I had, at that time, we had just started dating. And as we were traveling back and forth church together, we were driving to church one day, and we said, you know, let's go over there and visit that church that my dad keeps talking about. Well, by that time, they had already moved into this building. And so we came in, the very first service we came in, we said, this is it. And so that was it. That's where we sat there. Sister Jerry and Brother Mo was sitting in our seats. We sat there for 13 years. That was our chair, our bench. Everybody knew it. You know, we just got plugged in. But you know, I sat there and I cried tears after tears listening to preaching sermons that would pierce my heart. And you know, a lot of people go off to Bible school. Now here we are pastoring a church over in Greenville. A lot of people go off to Bible school and 4 years later they get their degree and they go into it. It took me 13 years to graduate. So it took me a while. But you know, I took notes. I sat there. I listened. We watched our pastor. We watched Sister Brenda. We watched them in their ministry and watched them. We watched us grow. Listen, we watched them grow. We watched them grow us. They were growing. You know, when I was beginning to think about this church, I said, the Lord brought a dreamer to Wills Point, Texas, 30 years ago. And this dream started long, long before 30 years ago. But God put it in the heart of our pastor. He told this story many, many times, you know, when he got on his knees, says, I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to do. If you can use me, then I'll do whatever you want me to do. And God brought him here, and the whole time, for 13 years that I was here, I thought the Lord brought Pastor Mike to Wills Point, Texas, just for me. What a blessing, what an honor, to teach me the Word of God. Well, see, dreams are birthed, and a lot of times dreams hinge upon other people's dreams. And because God brought someone who was a dreamer into this facility, into this church, into this community, and he dreamed a dream, and he began to talk the vision all the time, always talking the vision. I can't tell you how many times, and you will know because he's done it with you as well, how many times he's walked this parking lot, and he's began to talk about the dream. He began to talk about the things, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to do this. I remember a time when, but you see all these flags that he talked about last night, the missions and things. I was in the service whenever he began to say, we're going to start sowing into mission. I remember him saying, we're going to start putting money into missions. I know when they made a commitment to start getting in there, what was that when he said, we're going to do that? That was the dream that was coming out. And listen, it didn't just happen overnight, but it happened because he consistently kept talking about the dream. Brother Osteen said this, and he quoted last night, greater it is to dream the dream when you stand at youth by the starry stream, the sky. But greater still is to fight life through and say at the end that the dreams come true. See, the reason the dream comes true is because you don't give up on it. Church, I want you to know, you don't give up on the dream. 30 years in the making, we're not giving up on the dream. Pastor Mike's still talking about the dream. Pastor Mike is still dreaming today. He's still talking about the things of God. You know, when I left, they didn't have any of these facilities that you see in the back here. None of those things were there. But I come back over, I said, "Hey, Wills Point Church is still moving on. They're still dreaming. They're still doing some things. They didn't shut down when I left." I remember Pastor Mike telling me in his office, he said, Take a glass of water, stick your finger in the water. Now this may sound bad, listen to it. Stick your finger in the water and pull it out. It's gonna close up. You know why? Because the ministry, the dream is gonna keep going. You say, boy, that was a hard thing to say to somebody leaving. How do you think that made me feel? But I'm telling you what, that is the truth. The truth is that God births a dream and you've got to keep hanging on to the dream. All kind of variables will change. In a church setting, all kinds of situations change in life over the years. You know, there are some good times. Everybody loves the good times. Everybody loves the mountaintop experiences. But there are some hard roads to go. I have a deeper respect for Pastor Mike now, pastoring for 13 years. I understand this. There's some days when you've got to stir up the dream that's on the inside of you. You say, well, we're not going to quit. What's the alternative? Quit? No, we're not going to quit. We're going to keep believing God. We're going to keep trusting God. We're going to keep holding on to the dream as Joseph kept holding on to the dream. We came here, and I remember now this was a Martin Fessler trip, but the very first year that I was here, Wills Point went to Pastor Mike and a whole bunch of men were going on a mission trip over to Mexico. Went to Monterrey, Mexico. My first missionary trip. Man, I tell you what, that was an experience in and of itself. Went there and met Brother Bobby in the back. We bunked together. And that was before I started snoring. And so I think. We were in this, we were working, putting roofs on houses and things. Listen, I know Pastor Mike's been on many, many missionary trips, and some of you may have been on some of the trips from this church. But I tell you what, that built something on us. That stirred me. You know, that because that brought me a connection to seek to get involved and get engaged in the ministry. And I want you to know, you've got to keep the dream alive. You've got to get engaged. That's how you keep the dream alive, as you get engaged in ministry. Here, Joseph, he had this dream. He began to share it with his brothers. His brothers didn't like the dream, so they sold him into slavery. He ended up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife ended up lying about him, and he ended up in prison. But later on, we find that the Pharaoh had a dream, and he needed someone to interpret the dream. Go to Genesis chapter 41. It's interesting that dreamers can relate to dreamers. Dreamers can relate to dreamers. See, we're dreaming today because Pastor Mike was a dreamer. That's why we're dreaming today. We're keeping the dream alive every day. Every time I get up in the pulpit and preach, I'm keeping the dream alive. Every time I share with what we're going to do over in Greenville, Texas, it's because we're keeping the dream alive. Every time you go out and share on your job about something that God is doing, you're keeping the dream alive. So you're birthing that dream. You're keeping it alive. In Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh, he had a dream, and he was looking for someone to interpret the dream. I want you to notice in verse 14, it said, "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon." Now notice this. It says he shaved himself and changed his raiment. Then he came into the other, before Pharaoh. Notice it says he shaved himself and he changed his raiment. Well, you'd think that Joseph would be bitter. He'd be angry. He'd have some things he'd want to say. He'd say, "No, they've locked me away. I am going to be who I am. I'm going to look the way I am. This is the way that I've been looking all these times. And I've got a bone to pick with that Pharaoh." No. See, the reason why the dream came through in Joseph's life is because he kept the dream alive and he had a mind for others. He began to think of the needs of others. So he shaved his face, he put clean clothes on, and he went before the Pharaoh, and here's what he said. He says, "How can I help you? How can I help you?" See, that's a servant's heart. How can I help you? You want to keep the dream alive? Have a servant's heart. Joseph said, he could have said, "I'm going to give you a piece of my mind." He could have said, "The injustice that I've had to endure, it hadn't been easy." How many's always had it easy in your life? Has anybody ever gone through some things? Anybody ever had to face some situations and life hadn't always been dealt fairly? You ever had any situations where you said, "That's just not fair"? Well, sure. If you're breathing, you probably can say that. Life hadn't always been fair, but what's fair have to do with it? Fact is, we want to keep the dream alive. So you've got to be others-minded. You've got to start thinking about others. To survive in a time of famine, you can think of yourself. To survive, now write this down if you're taking notes. To survive in a time of famine, think of yourself. But to prosper in a time of famine, you've got to be others-minded. Say, "I want to prosper." Amen. I'm going to start thinking about everybody else. Genesis chapter 41, verses 17 through 57, we see a story, and I'm not going to read that. But Joseph begins to interpret the dream. And because he interprets the dream, the Pharaoh puts him as a second man in charge. Actually, his dream is fulfilled. See, as I said earlier, it took someone else's obedience in a dream to bring about his dream. That's what took place here. There's the obedience of Pastor Mike and Sister Brenda to say, I'll go to Wills Point, Texas. When he was teaching a Sunday school class, it was larger than the whole town of Wills Point. But he was obedient to come to a small town. I was thinking about that small town scenario, and you know, Pastor Mike here, he's come and he's raised five kids, and now his kids. I saw three of them were up on the stage playing instruments and stuff, and he's duplicating himself personally. And I was just thinking about all the different scenarios of getting involved in a small town. Well, he decided he was just going to come in and take over. He's gonna take over. He's gonna love people. I was thinking about whenever they asked him to be a part of the Rotary Club. He sat in the Rotary Club, and you know the story. Most of you that's been here for over the years know the story of how that everybody didn't receive the ministry of Pastor Michael Williams. But I tell you what, he made it. He said in his mind, he was going to be others-minded. And he began to love on people. And, you know, he's said this 1,000 times, and I say it now all the time. You know, I'm the nicest pastor you're ever going to have. I'm the sweetest guy. Well, he will. He'll love you. And he will forgive you. And he will pour inside of you. And it doesn't matter where you've come from. Someone says, well, we send people to your church because, you know, you're that kind of a church. What an honor and what a privilege when people are saying, I'm going to send people to your church because they're for you. That kind of people. Well, I'll tell you what, we want to welcome everybody because that's the ministry of Jesus. Amen. Genesis chapter 8 and 22. Stay right here. It says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Listen, there's seed that's being sown that will produce a harvest in times to come. Listen, the harvest that's coming from our church is because of seed over the years. 30 years of ministry, he's been putting seed in the ground, and we're seeing a harvest springing forth, and it's springing forth all over this world. The harvest of 30 years has come in, but you still have to continue to be sowing for the next 30 years. You know, they have put seed in the ground, but now's not the time to sit back and ride it out. Now's not the time to say, well, it's good times, good times, good times. We've celebrated 30 years. Now he's a grandpa. You know, so it's time to just sit back, get in my easy chair, drink my iced tea. No. Now's the time you got to refire. We got another 30 years of ministry. If you're going to catch up with Brother Nichols, you got to start keep putting seed in the ground. Now's not the time to just sit back and on your rusty dusty. Now's the time to say I'm going to refire. I've got to keep the dream alive on the inside. When life's good, we'll find that distractions will always try and come and undertake us. And here we see that he interpreted a dream, and here's the interpretation. The interpretation was that there's going to be 7 years of plenty followed by, and you read this in verse 29 and 30, and it's going to be followed by 7 years of famine. That was the interpretation of the dream that Pharaoh had. In fact, it was the Lord that gave the Pharaoh this dream. And when Joseph interpreted the dream, he said, this is a plan that God is preparing. He's wanting you to be prepared. And because he shared this dream, his dream came alive. He was brought into his ministry. But I want you to notice that it's not famine that takes you out. It's the lack of preparation during the plenty that takes you out. The famine was destined to come, but God told him about the famine plenty of time and says, you've got to start preparing for the famine. I want you to know there's always bad times just as well as there's always good times. But what's going to happen in the bad times is what you're preparing to do during the good times. Now, when we've got good times and we're celebrating all the great things here at Wills Point International Outreach Church, but this is the time to prepare and put the seed in the ground. Because listen, there's always ups and there's always down. But during those downs, listen, you don't feel a thing. During those down times, listen, you'll find at the end of this message that you become the blesser, you become the blessing, and you come into your ministry. Can you say amen? We've got to beware of distractions, though. How many know that the devil, John 10 and 10 says, it's the thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. It's the devil that comes to bring distractions in your life. Now, what is a distraction? The distraction is to get your eyes, or get your focus, get your gaze off of what God has called you to do. That's the dream stealers. The devil will come immediately to try to take that dream away from you. The devil will come and try to bring distractions in your life. But church, just as the Lord gave this dream to Pharaoh, he said, beware and be prepared because there's some fat years and there's some lean years. Just beware of it. The first distraction I want to share with you, and I'm going to keep this kind of brief since Sister Brenda took up all my time. You might want to edit that out on the tape. I'm just kidding with you. Boy, it was good preaching. Good preaching. First distraction I want you to know is is broken focus. Church, we got to be focused. He said, whosoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. Don't ever look back. Don't ever start saying, you know, I wonder what it would be like back in Egypt. I wonder what it would be like back there eating the garlic and the onions. No, we got to look forward to the promised land. We got to look forward to what God is calling us. Hey, listen, this ministry, we recount and we look back and some of the blessings that the Lord has brought us through here at this church. But listen, this is the time when we need to start looking forward and where God has taken us. God has got us to a destination, and you have not yet arrived. You are still on the journey of moving on for the kingdom of God. Pastor Mike is getting stronger and hotter every time he gets up in this pulpit. His ministry is coming in. He's coming into his ministry. He's not topping off at this ministry. We've got to keep our focus before the Lord. Proverbs chapter 5 verse 1 says, "My son, pay attention to my word." Keep your focus. In Deuteronomy 6, he said to listen, to focus, and obey. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, he says to take every thought into captivity. What are those? What kind of thoughts? The thoughts that would take you off of your focus, take you off your course, that would get you looking somewhere else and not staying on the course that God called you to be. I think of King David. When King David was in the heart of his ministry, long before he was David, we know David, little David, who was anointed by Samuel to be the next king. And here he was, he went into battle against Goliath. I remember the story of David and Goliath. You have just a young, ruddy youth that went before a big giant, and he took that slingshot, and he swung it around, and he put a stone right in the forehead of that big old giant and took him off. You say, oh, that's heyday. He's at the height of his ministry. No, his ministry was just beginning. God, the anointing was there. Oh, he had some great victories, but that was just the beginning. We see that he ended up in the army of King Saul, and when he'd come in, they'd say, Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You say, oh, he's at the height of his ministry. No, he's not at the height of his ministry. He was still coming into his ministry. He later, we find he became king of all that area. He became the ruler. The fulfillment of saying you're going to be the future king and that anointing that's upon him, all that, now you've come into your ministry. Now you say he has arrived. But I want you to know when you say he has arrived, it was during those times where everything got to good and everything was rosy in his life that he sat back and we saw the fall of King David. Whenever he got up and we saw the sin through Bathsheba, we see that took place. That took place during a time whenever he had reached, you might say, he had reached his pinnacle. That's because he lost his focus. And church, I want you to know we don't keep our focus. We got to keep our focus right before God. Keep our hearts pure before God. And keep walking this walk out. Can you say amen? Amen. Second thing that will cause distractions in your life are people. And I say this all the time. We're in the people business. How many know you wouldn't have any problems if there wasn't any people in the world? You know, the fact is the greatest blessing in the world is people. That's the greatest joy is serving people, loving on people. The greatest hardship, the greatest trials in your life is dealing with people. And sometimes it can be the people that's closest to you. You know, I mean, you are serving. Here we are pastoring over in Greenville, and our family comes to church, kind of like Pastor Mike's family. They're all involved and saying, I recognize that sometimes there's that line between pastor and dad or now granddad. You know, there's that line. You're having to deal with those kind of things. What a blessing it is to know you have trained your children. They just get in there and they serve under you and you. They see you as dad, but they also recognize you're pastor. You know, and so we've got to keep our focus right. We understand that when people come in, there's a lot of people that come into the church. And I mean, they are a wreck. I mean, know what I'm talking about. People come in, they have all kinds of problems, they have all kinds of issues. And we keep our focus and say, let's bring them to the Lord. Let's come down and lay them out at the feet of Jesus. Let's get deliverance and get set free. People will distract you. When you're in a dungeon, a lot of people won't mess with you. Here we saw that Joseph, he was locked in a dungeon for a long time. No one bothered him. Maybe may even be forgotten. Say, well, that's where I'd like to be. I'd just like to be locked up in a dungeon. Oh, if you could just give me some dry cell somewhere deep down in a dark somewhere, because I won't have to deal with any people. No, God didn't call us to be a recluse. In fact, we got to come out of that dungeon. I want you to notice here, look at verse 42. 42, it says, and now this is after he had interpreted the dream. Joseph now became the right-hand man to the Pharaoh. It says in verse 42, Pharaoh took off the ring from his hand. He put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vesture of fine linen. Now, He had just come from a dungeon. He had to shave his face and put on some clean clothes. Now he went from the dungeon to putting on the ring of the king. He put on fine vestures of linen. He put a gold chain about his neck. He put his bling on. He made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried unto him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Listen, I mean, that success can change someone if your heart's not right. That success can get your focus off of what God's called you to do if your heart's not right. Because of that level of success, all of a sudden go from rags to riches overnight. If you're not careful, it will throw you. But the church, I want you to know, if you'll keep your focus right, listen, God wants to bless you. God wants to do supernatural things. God's got 1,000 different ways to bring blessings in your life. God doesn't care how much stuff you have as long as the stuff doesn't have you. God doesn't mind you having a ring on your finger, having your cars paid for. God doesn't mind you having houses paid for. Matter of fact, it makes Him look good. In fact, He wants you to have a house and have your house paid for so you can help buy somebody else a house. He wants you to have a car and have a car paid for so you can help buy someone else a car. God wants your bills paid so that you're not just struggling to pay your bills, but so that you can help be a blessing to someone else. See, that's selfless giving. Giving and offering yourself up to the Lord. So we got to recognize that we're not going to let people distract us. Not that the things of this world distract us. The third thing that will bring distractions in your life in church, here we got 30 years of ministry, and that is offenses. How many know that it's easy to get offended if you allow that to happen? You can't get offended or you'll be distracted what God has called you to do in this church. Walk out and say, Pastor didn't shake my hand. He didn't shake my hand. Sister Brenda didn't call me this week. Someone said something. I wonder what they meant by that. You know what the devil will do? The devil will try to put offenses there. The devil will try to try to get you distracted and focus off of the dream that God has put on the inside of you. See, if you don't get a little bit thick-skinned, just be loving and say, I'm not going to be distracted. I'm not going to be offended. I'm not going to walk around with a spirit of offense about me. I'm going to keep the dream alive. I have a goal and a dream of the chapter 37 of my life. I'm going to keep the dream alive. I'm not going to be distracted by being offended. Church, we don't have the luxury of being offended. We got to pass those offenses over. We got to roll those things over. And we got to say, no, listen, I recognize that it's the enemy that comes in to try to bring distractions in my life. It's the enemy that's trying to bring offenses in my life. In fact, the devil hates everything that you do. He hates the fact that you have a dream. And that what he's trying to do is, like Pastor Don said last night, is he's continually trying to steal that dream from you. So one of the ways is he tries to get you to overanalyze things. What does people mean by that? Walk around with the hardness of heart. Listen, we've got to get a soft spirit about it and say, no, I'm just going to serve the Lord. I'm going to love the Lord. I'm going to love on people. Not everybody's going to say well things about you. Not everybody's going to say good things about you. Matter of fact, because you're doing something for the Lord, they're going to have some people say some negative things about you. I guarantee you, not everybody said good things about Pastor Mike all of his life, but the Bible says, beware when everybody speaks well against you. Now, I always say well things. I always say good things. I'm not on that group. But there are some, you know, but you got to choose. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to keep the dream alive. Listen, we're keeping the dream alive for ourselves and for others as well. Number four, I deliberately didn't tell you how many points I had. You tell people how many points you got, they start counting it down. Okay, he's just now number four. You know, Kenneth Hagin always had a 10-point message. Seemed like he always had a 10-point message. He'd preach, you'd think, oh, he's got 10 points. He'd just usually do about three of them. The fourth point that will distract you is being double-minded. James 1:8 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. In fact, it says, let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. God wants you to have a single mind. He's wanting you to get focused. Put your hand to the plow. Don't be double-minded. Don't be wondering, wishy-washy, what should I do? Joseph here in this passage of Scripture. He could have said, you know what, I'm not sure what I need to do. Should I build a grain bin, or should I build this grain bin out of wood? Should I build this grain bin out of stone? I'm not sure what I should do. I'm not sure how to go about this. Should get a plan and stay with it. Get a plan and stay with it. People go to college, and you find that people that will attend college, they'll change their major 5 times and never finish. But why? Because they've gotten double-minded. They're wishy-washy. You want to see the dream come alive. You want to see fruition come to that dream. Get on a plan and stay with it. You get the job done that way. Well, I'll go to this church. I go to that church. See, Pastor Mike didn't develop a 30-year ministry because he started a church here and then he closed the church down and started another church somewhere else, closed the church there and started another church down the road. Close that church down. Start no. This church is here because he came in, he started the church, and he stayed with the church. He kept building the church. I'm telling you what, this church, we look it around. And Pastor Mike always said, he says people are going to look back and says you're an overnight success. Pastor Don said last night, he says you build the dream and let somebody else go and do the dream. But you talk the dream, and I understand what you're saying about that. But I've seen Pastor Mike swinging a hammer. I've seen Pastor Mike, you know, with his tool belt on. He shows up and he physically worked building this building. I've seen it with my own eyes. I watched him as he comes in here, and this is not just to praise Pastor Mike, but I'm talking about this ministry and what it stood for. I've seen the walls come up because he did it with his own hands. Now there's others that God brought with him and he was blessed to help. But listen, I've watched him. He didn't just talk the talk, but he walked the walk. He'd be swinging a hammer 1 minute, the next minute he'd be down in the pool baptizing someone. We'd have a church service out there, and he'd be baptizing out in the lake. Supernatural things. Thank God for this baptistry here. But I have witnessed it with my own eyes. That's because he was focused, and he wasn't going to be double-minded. He wasn't going to say, "I'm going to do this" or "I'm going to do that." No, he says, "I'm going to keep the dream alive." Joseph wasn't changing his mind. He didn't spend 7 years moving the grain bins around. He built the grain bins, and then he brought the grains to the grain bin. He kept the grain bins there, and because of that, when the years of famine came, he was able to be a blessing. The fifth thing, and I want to move on real quickly. The fifth thing, because I want Brother Nichols to get up here. The fifth thing that will bring distractions in your life is time. Everybody say time. I'm telling you what, times can be a blessing, but it can also be a distraction. Some of you right now, if you're looking at your watches, it's a distraction from what I'm preaching right now. Focus. Time. We're an instant society. Everybody wants things to happen right now. I mean, I want a church, and I want the success of the church. I want to move into my ministry. I want to be preaching to the thousands, the multitudes. I want all these things to take place. But how many knows, we've got 30 years here in this church. That's a lot of time. And you pay the price, you put the time in, and God blesses you because you put the time in. You say, "I'm going to get faithful with what God's called me." We go through a drive-through window and we order a Big Mac, and we get upset because it takes 2 minutes to get up there and get the Big Mac. We forget that there was a time whenever you had to go out, you had to hunt for whatever that meat is. You had to hunt. You had to kill it. You had to skin it. You had to build a fire. You had to put it over the fire. It took a lot of time. We live in a fast-paced society, and that's why the Bible over and over says the Selah. Stop, slow down. Don't get distracted because of time. Listen, we're not going to be distracted with time. We're going to keep our focus and our gaze toward the Lord. How long is it going to take? It don't matter. I'm in this thing till the Lord comes back. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not going back. I'm going to keep going no longer how long it takes. Hebrews, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 3 says, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, for at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it." Everybody say, wait. Well, that's a word we don't hear in society today. Wait, because the Bible says it will surely come. It will not tarry. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." In other words, we're not going to let time distract us. We're not going to get distracted by time. And finally, my last point, chapter number 6, don't get distracted by fear. Don't get distracted by fear. Joseph was following the dream that the Lord had laid out. He was putting the dream into practice right here. God says there's 7 years of plenty. Prepared during those 7 years of plenty because there's 7 years of leanness come. He knew there was a 7 years of lean come, so he began to prepare in the 7 years of plenty. But what if Joseph said, what if it only takes 4 years? What happens if it only takes 4 years? What if I put the grain in the bins and the grain rots and we can't feed them? What if I bid a job and I underbid it? Well, we've won 10 games in our ball game. The Rangers, I guess the Rangers are doing pretty good right now. But you know, sometimes they have some losses. You know, you get distracted. I was for those of you who are watching the tape, you don't know who the Rangers are. Texas Rangers is a baseball team. And any Ranger fans in here? A couple. All right. Texas Rangers. Somebody had told me in passing. I'm not extremely sports minded, you know, but I don't bring up a lot of analogies like this. But someone was telling me, I was just listening to someone talking, and because I've got a lot of guys in the church that they just thrive on sports. I mean, they are sports fanatics. They can tell you every detail about every player. So sometimes I want to know a little bit about some things. So somebody be talking to me and somebody says, oh, those Rangers, they're not doing real good right now. They're just, I'm telling you what, they are struggling right now. Well, that's the only word I got. So I'm talking to somebody that's a sports fanatic and I start saying, yeah, those Rangers, they're not doing real good right now. Yeah, I'll tell you what, they're struggling right now. I'm on them thinking, well, he knows a lot about sports. It's I want you to know, they began to run down the statistic. They're still the number one in the league. They've only lost in this last series just one game, and yet they're still in the league. They're sure to take it in. I mean, they began, boy, they set me straight real quick. Well, don't get distracted by fear. What if you had a winning season, and you start thinking, well, now the pressure's on. Well, we've had 30 years of success. The pressure's on. How are we going to top this? We've give $1 million in the mission. How are we going to top that? Well, because we're going to give $5 million. That's how we're going to top it. We built some walls. We're going to tear down the walls and build some new walls. Later on, you're going to get a chance to go and walk the premises like Pastor Mike done so many times, and you're going to see some of the vision as he starts talking the vision, see some of the things that are taking place because the walls just keep coming up. New things, new ministries keep being birthed. And listen, ministry that you see here is not just what you see, the carpet in here, but ministry is all over this world. He's taking the message of the gospel. I remember we went to Baja, Mexico one time, and I am bringing this to a close, but we went to Baja, Mexico, and I remember we traveled down there. Pastor Mike was the speaker, and I remember him sitting in a room quite a bit smaller than this room. You know, traveled I don't know how many thousand miles all the way over to Baja, landed, had to drive us down, had to land in an airport, a military airport, because they had blocked off the runway. So we landed about 100 miles from where we needed to go. They picked us up there. The missionary there picked us up and drove us down into an orphanage down there. I'll never forget it. Pastor Mike was teaching these people in this ministry, and he began to teach on what you say, and talking about, he used the analogy about the door, and I've used it 1,000 times, that he said, you know, you can see the door, you can taste the door, but he was talking about the element of faith and how you walk that out. He was teaching faith to those people. Listen, they got a hold of it. I really believe that the ministry and the word that goes forth from this church, we're gonna get to heaven, and people are gonna come up. And you talk about those that are saying thank you right now. There's gonna be people all over this world that says thank you because of what you did, because of the lives the words that you have shared through your mouth has sprung forth, and we're gonna see souls saved, and it's accredited to this ministry, and because of the faithfulness, because they held on to the dream and they didn't get up, they didn't give up. Look at Genesis chapter 41, verse 53. It says, in the 7 years of plenteous was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all lands. But in all the lands of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith you to do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened up the storehouses, all the storehouses, and sold unto the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because that the famine was so sore in all the lands. Here, this church has been holding on to the dream. Here, Joseph, he followed through with the dream, and because he followed through with the dream, he was able to be a blessing to other people. And that's what this is all about, being a blessing to other people. Hold on to the dream. Continue serving God, pouring your seed in during the good times. When famine comes, you can open your storehouse and you can be a refuge to others. Let this ministry continue to bless you. This, you've only just begun. Amen. Father, we praise you today. We thank you, Lord God, for this Saturday morning service. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the seed of your word that goes forth in power and might. Let it burst forth, Lord Jesus, in the hearts and lives of each person. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you for letting me preach to you. God bless you.
Hallelujah.